You can only imagine what the wise men thought when they found himself looking up in the sky, gazing at something they'd never seen before, would never see again. It was a star shining so brightly that obviously they recognized they needed to follow it. That bright and morning star that shined out beyond any other star in history was guiding them to something that would fulfill their greatest desires, would answer their greatest questions, would bring them to a point of understanding that they never dreamed possible. Following the star, what a way to celebrate. Celebrating what it is that God has done through the ages. Watching as history unfolds and prophecy is fulfilled, wise men that we know so little about, and yet we know they had a characteristic that we all yearn for, and that is to be obedient. They were obedient because they had the opportunity to follow a star that would change their world. And a day in which we find many shooting stars, people with ideas, people with opinions, it is so important for us to come into his house on this day and remember that we only follow one star. It's that bright and morning star that lights our hearts in our darkest moments. It's that bright and morning star that makes Christmas special every time we celebrate it. It's that beautiful star that shines out with brilliance, so brilliant that wise men could travel an untold distance looking for a baby that would fulfill all of prophecy. You see, today we come into his house to celebrate what happened with that baby in a manger. What transpired as he became the answer to people's heartaches and difficulty. And so if you're here today, I want you to learn a lesson that you never forget. I want you to learn the lesson of what happens when wise men follow the star. Wise women follow the star. And here's what you discover. It was not the distance that they traveled, but it was the direction in which they headed that changed their world. You see, they could have traveled thousands and thousands of more miles, but never found the answer. But it was in the direction that they followed. They realized there was one direction to go, to follow the star that would lead them to their answer. And listen carefully. If we are not careful, we will discover that in our own lives, we at times try to go further and further and further, when in reality, we're going the wrong way. Listen, if you're here and you have been gripped by pain and difficulty and heartache, what happens to us oftentimes is all that heartache causes us to keep moving, but we don't always move in the right direction. And these wise men, imagine for a second. It is very evident when we read in Scripture that they were wise, yes, but they were also blessed. They brought gifts that absolutely conveyed the magnitude of what had been entrusted to them. They were obedient. This is a story that Matthew gives us that helps us understand something, that no matter where anyone is in the world, there is a direction that leads us home. There is a place to call home. And it's with letting Jesus live inside of our hearts and guide us that star shines the brightest. So as you think about your journey today, I want to ask you a question. When it comes to your willingness, how far would you go to follow a star? How far would you go? What distance would you travel? Would you be willing to follow a star if it led you to a place you'd never been to before? You see, what you and I need to discover today is, as we come to this Sunday before Christmas, and as we think about where we are in our journey, as we ask ourselves what it is that God is saying to our hearts and lives, when we think about what it is that we want to see our life have in the future, we need to ask ourselves the simple question, are we willing to follow a star? Because here's what you discover. If you follow Jesus, and if you'll look at what Jesus said over and over and over again, he said two simple words that carried the magnitude that changed the lives of every person who would be willing to follow him. He said, follow me. He said, follow me. Now, when we think about that, we realize something, that in the simplicity of obedience, we discover the magnitude of the brilliance of that star. See, these wise men, they were looking for something that money couldn't buy because they already had it and couldn't buy it. They were looking for an answer. So let's begin reading, if we could, in Matthew chapter 2. And today, I want you to go away from church with a real clear signal. I want you to go away thinking, you know what? It's not how far I tread. It is important which way I go. That's why when the Bible says, this is the way, walk in it, listen carefully. We don't preach religion, we preach Jesus. We don't preach some kind of social gospel. We preach Jesus. We don't build our lives around something other than Jesus. We build our lives on Jesus. And that's why these wise men found themselves looking for the star. So Matthew chapter 2, as this text unfolds, listen to what these men had to say when they found themselves following the star. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what had been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him. After hearing the king, they went their way. And the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. When you read this, 12 short verses give you the story of some very wise men. We don't know how many men it was, but here's what we do know. These men, they had something about them that stirred all of Jerusalem, including Herod. When they arrive, obviously, Jesus has been born and life has moved forward, and all of a sudden they show up and say, where is he who has been born who is going to be the king? Well, you can imagine Herod immediately is gripped. And when you read the accounts of how overwhelmed he was with the wrong emotion, you realize that you and I need to look at this story and let it unfold to our lives to guide us in the right direction. The wise men had three qualities that stood out. The first thing was they were compelled to follow a star. You see, they were living in another place, and they had different criteria by which they were living, except that they found themselves compelled by something. And what you and I discover regarding our journey is that we also must be compelled by something. You see, we need to learn that there is something God has for us. When you're compelled, you pursue something. You look at it as something that absolutely grabs hold of you. And then when it grabs hold of you, it speaks to your heart. And what you and I need to discover on this Christmas season of 2010, may we be compelled to follow a star. But not only that, but you also realize that for these wise men, they were motivated. They were motivated to worship. And you know, what's interesting is they came and they asked and inquired, where is he that has been born so that we may worship him? Watch this carefully. When you allow your heart to be fixed on him, you can worship him. When you allow your heart to be stayed on him, you can worship him. And here's what happened with these wise men. They find themselves traveling. It doesn't matter how far. Remember, it is not the distance. But they find themselves traveling, following a star. And as they follow that star, it leads them to a place where they can worship. Now I want you to ask yourself the second question. Herod said, when you find the baby, come and tell me so that I may come and worship him as well. I want to ask you a question. Was Herod really intended to worship? Herod never intended to worship, did he? Herod intended instead to change his world and change the entire world. But obviously, remember this, God has a perfect plan. And listen, you may have lived through a heartache you don't understand, but you can trust his plan. His plan will unfold in perfect sync to your being willing to say, Lord, I worship you. I worship you. I listen to a song every Saturday evening, almost listen to one particular song that stands out in my mind. And the title of the song is Capture Me Again. And it's sung by a guy named Joel Engel. And the song is his expression of how many moments he missed because he was too preoccupied with other things. And listen carefully. These wise men were preoccupied with nothing but the star. And what you and I need to do is we need to ask ourselves, when it comes to where we are, what motivates us? What grabs hold of us? What speaks to our lives? I mean, can you imagine what would happen if all of us got motivated with the same thrust of energy that these Magi had? Can you imagine what would happen if all of a sudden we were invigorated with an energy that only God could give us? You see, what you and I need to do today is look at our lives and ask ourselves, what compels us? What motivates us? But I want you to notice another thing, because in verse 12, you'll notice what it says here, that being warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Listen carefully. They were alerted to the challenge of the enemy. They were alerted to what it was that they were going to have to face. And here is what you see in this picture that should be painted in all of our hearts and lives. Something must compel us. Something must motivate us. But we must always be aware that someone would like to take us off track and cause us to look in the wrong direction instead of being able to look in the right direction and see what it is that God has for us. And what you see here is these wise men, what happened to them? The star began to shine. And that star began to shine, and it was the key, watch this, it was the key to their future and the answer to their greatest longing. That star was shining. It was shining, and as it shined, something began to happen. You see, all of us desire a future, and all of us have longings. All of us have particular things that we want to happen in our lives. We desire very clearly to follow God's best for our lives. And so what happens here is the star became an answer to their longing, what they had looked for, what was missing. And listen carefully. Anything you add to Jesus mixes up what it is he has for you. Because the reality is Jesus is sufficient and adequate to every need we'll ever face in life. And I'm going to tell you what happens to us. When we start putting things with Jesus, we begin to dilute the very power of his name. We begin to make the star lose its brilliance. We begin to be subdued by circumstances, and those circumstances begin to steal our joy, and our joy is stolen, and we end up not following the light. We end up not following the star. I want to ask you, how compelled are you to let God do everything in your life? How motivated are you? Let me ask you this. Do you allow your mind to be preoccupied with situations and circumstances you can't find the answer to, when in reality the only answer your mind should be focused on is the Lord Jesus? What you discover is these wise men, they came looking for an answer. They followed a star that led them to their greatest longing and opened the door for their entire future. Not only that, though, when you look at it, you realize also that when you get down the bottom line, every longing heart needs Jesus. I mean, every longing heart in the whole world needs Jesus to shine down on them. Listen carefully. It doesn't matter how painful 2010 has been. There is still a light that shines in the heart of every person who chooses to allow it to shine. And what God wants us to realize today is that we have a responsibility. I want you to think about how oftentimes we lack the direction to follow that star the right way. Last night I was headed to a fellowship over at Larry Margo Askew's house up in northern South Carolina, a long ways. Actually, Forsyth County, but it felt like we were in South Carolina. We drove a long time. We got there. And in fact, two of our members asked if they could, or three of them asked if they could follow me. And that's a dangerous thing when you ask to follow the pastor. And so I was leading them, and I was trying to drive the speed limit. That was my first test. And then I was also trying to get in the right place. Well, I passed something I knew was not the right place. So I pulled in, and I made a phone call. And it's interesting. My GPS told me to turn right, but I was supposed to turn left. And had I not called for directions, I would have never got there. I'd have never found my way. And what you and I sometimes do, here's what happened to it. Our GPS inside of us says, go this way. But God says, go this way. And what do we do? What do most of us do? We lumber along going our way. How many of us, when we get lost, don't want to ask someone else how to find our way home? Anybody ever traveled and kept going, realizing you're on the wrong road, but you knew someday you'd cross the right road? Rudy, you want to confess? I mean, there are people here. Yeah. I mean, the truth is, by the way, it is more of a male thing than it is a female thing. I will agree with that. Because women are just so more discerning. They realize that when you pass something you've never seen before, it's the wrong way. But for men, they're thinking, oh, isn't that beautiful? You know, the truth is we all need something to guide our lives. And what have we learned already today? We've learned it's not the distance we travel, but it is the direction in which we go that determines whether we will live life the way God intended or whether we'll miss it. And see, you and I, sometimes we come to church, we may not hear everything that we need to hear. This past Thursday night, I had a chance of fellowshipping with three of our men, Eddie Conkle and Todd Cannon and John McClure. We went to the Atlanta Thrashers hockey game, only my second hockey game ever. I went to see a fight, got to see that. I went to see some scores, got to see that. And it was quite interesting to see people go to those games. But one of the interesting things was, we got in the car, and Todd, who he said, this is the first time I've ever done anything with a pastor like this. And he said, I just want you to ask me any question. Any question. Which, by the way, Kathy, we ask lots of questions, okay? So we ask all these questions. So finally, we sit down in the dining area there at CNN Center, and we're sitting there, and Todd, we're eating our food, all the food court there, and Todd says, ask me another question. I love this moment. It was so cute. Eddie looks at him and says, what did Brother Joe preach on last week? And let me give you guys a hint. I mean, listen carefully. If it's in December, what would be a guess? I mean, wouldn't you at least say Christmas? And I got so tickled, Todd said, well, my wife takes notes. And I just listened. Well, the truth of the matter is, I got so tickled because that question stumped him. And you know what? Sometimes life stumps us, doesn't it? And I want you to go out of church today with one thought in mind not to, to miss, because this is a great day to look at this thought. You can go a long ways and still miss him. You can go a great distance. But if you go in the right direction, you will find him. If you seek him with all of your heart, you will find him. And what you and I need to understand today is that God wants us to seek him with all of our heart and to follow that star. So what you have to ask yourself is, if that's the case, then did Jesus speak to us being a light? Did he speak to us being willing to shine? Because what you really get down to is you ask yourself this one simple question: how bright does my light shine on others? Do people see Jesus in me? I want to ask you, when you're shopping, do they see Jesus? When you're out and about, do they see Jesus? My wife and I had the privilege of eating out with dear friends on Friday night, and we were eating, and after we got done, the valet guy who parked our car, he came out, and I said, well, I want to make sure I give this kid who pulls up a good tip, because I realize it's cold out here, and it's rainy and dreary day, and so I gave him a tip, and the other guy had opened the door for my wife, and I also gave him a good tip. And they both looked at me like, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing that? And let me tell you what I've discovered. Our light will shine in the most unique and quiet and special moments if we're just wise enough to keep letting it shine. So look with me at Matthew chapter 5. Now I want to just show you a couple of verses Jesus says here that really bring us to the communion table. They bring us to a point of awareness when it comes regarding our entire journey. Look, if you would, as you look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse, I'm just going to read just a couple of verses, verse 14 through 16. Listen to what Jesus said. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. When in three short verses, Jesus lays out that when the bright star begins to shine in us, we have the responsibility to let our light shine before others. Look at it with me very quickly. Look, first of all, what does he say here? That we have a relationship. He said, you are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. I mean, look at it. When you see it unfold there, what has he done? He has filled us up to light the world. What do people look for? You ask Haley, who just came back from Romania, ask what happens when you walk into an orphanage where there's darkness and difficulty and dirt and somebody of light shows up. It changes their world because they realize somebody cares. Somebody has a message. We have a relationship. He said, you're the light of the world. And the truth of the matter is, he said, you don't put it under a basket. You let your light shine. But not only that, though, he also, you'll notice, what does he say also? We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. Look what he says here. You don't put it under a basket. You don't hide it. You put it on a lampstand. And watch this. Our responsibility is to make sure that we let our light out so it impacts others. We have a responsibility. We can't miss. And listen, at Christmas time, it's so absolutely vital. In a world that is diluting more and more the message is so clear. It is Christ who has made Christmas to change the world. It is a light that shines in our hearts, and we have the responsibility to put it on a lampstand. What he's really saying is, don't put your light under this tablecloth. Can you imagine what communion would be like on this Sunday if we said, okay, today, everyone who's going to take communion must come. They've got to sneak underneath here. They've got to find what it is they're looking for and take that element. It would totally distract you from the responsibility you have. You see, the responsibility you have is to look at your heart and ask yourself a very important question. Does the light shine in me? And if so, have I taken my responsibility seriously? There's a third thing that you see here. As we look at this light, he said, you're the light of the world. And what he says here in verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to let our light shine, to live out our purpose, to live out what it is that God has for us, and glorify him to the rest of those who see us. We see, every one of us have the opportunity to have a relationship. And with that relationship, it opens the door of opportunity for us to be able to let others know. You see, I'm not mistaken in realizing that for many of us, We walk through valleys we would never choose, with pain we would never want to endure, and in opportunities for us to be able to turn in the wrong direction, to go the wrong way. But let me say to you on this Sunday before Christmas, as we come to a moment in which we commune together and as we surrender our lives to Him, follow the star. Listen carefully. It doesn't matter what pain, what challenges. It doesn't matter what opportunities, what blessings. In every arena, they all point us in the same direction. They followed a star. It was so bright that they couldn't miss it. And listen carefully. It is with the brightness of that star that we begin to convey the beauty and the majesty and the glory of His name. Emmanuel, God with us. What a story. Let's pray together. And Father, we thank You for the privilege of being able to come into Your house on this day. You have given us a star to follow, a bright and morning star. You met us at the point of our need. In our heartaches, You have become our healer. In our pain, You have become our purpose. As we found ourselves in our stubbornness, You have become our yielding, for the Spirit has come to spoke to our hearts. And so, Lord, on this Christmas morning, I think about those who have had a year in which they want to kiss goodbye and say never live through that again. I think about others who've lived through a great year. One thing is for certain. This bright and morning star has come to shine out of darkness to give us life. And may You allow it to be a bright light. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.